The one that's there now was named after it. And there was Michael's Meat Market. You could buy any kind of meat there, pretty much. And we had the two banks side by side. Cook's Garage had gas pumps in front of it. The bakery's still there. We had Western Auto, where you could buy anything for your car, and they sold bicycles and lawnmowers and that kind of thing. Cooking utensils. That was a good store. We had several barber shops that are gone. Some things are the same. The Jordan Cottage on the corner by the traffic light is similar to what it was. If you look at old photos, there used to be big elm trees there, and of course the elms are gone. When I was a kid, there was very few trees along Main Street in Cooperstown. That's one thing I do like that's taken place. They've put in a lot of trees. I'm not sure that I would go with the lindens and stuff that they have. I mean, I like native things more. But the bridge has been changed.
What did you used to do in town when you were younger?
I used to come with my grandparents and my parents to shop. My grandfather, he would buy us candy bars. That was the only candy bars we got. My parents weren't big on that kind of thing.
Were you able to socialize with kids in your own age group in town, or did you do that outside of town?
No. When we came to town, it was strictly a shop, for the most part. Mm-hmm. And they'd go in the bank, do their banking, that type of thing. No, we didn't stay very long. We delivered the eggs, and then we bought the groceries and picked up whatever else they needed. Mm-hmm. My grandmother still always said she was going trading. That was the old time term, and she stuck with that. But like I said, they came once a week. During the week, we had lots of work to do on the farm. We had big gardens. There was always weeds to pull and carrots and things to thin. I had gardens up here, and I also had them in my mother's down on the half. So. But I was up here all summer long, pretty much. I'd be down there maybe one day a week in the summer. That was about it. I preferred being on the farm.
So I just want to clarify this just a little bit, like where exactly you were. So you grew up in Cooperstown.
I started out in Cooperstown. I was 5 and my father got transferred. He had the Brookwood School farm. And so we lived 2 years in the city of Hudson. And then my dad built a new house out in Clavrack. It was 2 years there, and then he got transferred back to Oneonta. So I graduated in Oneonta. And then I worked down there a couple of years and moved up here in 76 on the farm. I was up here pretty much every night at that point because I was driving then. I came up every night. I had a syrup operation that I started when I was a kid. Made maple syrup. And so I had to cut wood and do things like that. And my grandparents were up in years at that point. They were in their 80s, so somebody had to help him out. My grandfather milked till he was 85. So,
how'd you get started doing the maple syrup business?
A friend of mine, myself, we tapped a few trees down on Oneonta, small trees. We always kind of laugh about it today. We talk about it on occasion. They were small trees, and we drilled right through and put a spile on each side. And the first year we made a couple carts, and the next year I decided to tap some trees up home. My grandfather didn't want to do it. He didn't want to burn up good wood to make syrup. But we tapped some, and after I got them tapped, he said, well, if you're going to tap trees, he says, let's go tap some more so we can make some syrup. And we made 5 gallons the second year. And then we made 15 gallon. After 5-6 years, I bought an evaporator. And I made 60 gallon. And I bought a bigger evaporator. And we got up to where we made 250 gallons. So, and I used to dream about having a big operation with tank trucks on the road and so on. But that, thank goodness that I outgrew that.
Why?
There was never a lot of money in it. And if you're going to get into it today, you got to have an RO machine, a reverse osmosis machine. I like doing it the old way. I don't particularly enjoy the sap houses today. We always boil the wood. I like to have the pans open. I like to see the sap boil. I like to smell the steam. So.
You still make it today?
No. My father got Parkinson's, and he kind of helped me out, and I had to tap at least 300 with a big evaporator, so it sits there. But maybe someday. We still have the sugar bush. I got the maples. They're getting better all the time. They get bigger. So there was an old sugar bush on the farm. My grandfather cut those trees off in the 40s. And then these are younger trees and that are 50, 60 years old tops. Some of them are a couple feet through now. So they're getting good sized. But I always like making syrup. But like I say, there was very little money in it. You would starve to death. You have a big operation. It's like dairy farming. It was my grandmother's dream that I'd run the farm, but I knew that wasn't going to work with my allergies anyway, so I would have had to build a new barn. Our barn was pretty primitive. The ceiling was pretty low. The stable was pretty crude. The milk house was very small. We have photos of it here. But my grandfather shipped his milk. That went by can. He was a chartered Dairymen's League member. And he first shipped to Hartwick, then they closed that plant, and they shipped to Milford. And then as the canned dairy started going out, they closed the one in Milford, and they shipped it to, I think it was Fly Creek next, and then we went to Cooperstown, to the Sheffield plant, and then on the last end, they were shipping the milk clear to Bridgewater. And when he sold the cows, I guess he more or less had to, because they knew it was going to be the demise of it. But there were several trucks that picked up canned milk when I was a kid. They'd double-decker them on the trucks, the cans. Figured 80 pounds to a 10-gallon can. But that was the standard can, probably. I'm trying to think of the one of the oldest. The oldest cans were usually riveted, and I probably would be 1880s. It was a 10-gallon. I'm guessing 1880s was probably when they started using those. The cheese factory cans, some of them could go back quite a bit further than that. I think they were made by the tinsmiths.
Did you help your grandfather on the farm with milking cows when you were up here?
Oh, yeah.
And you used the machine, the milking machine?
I did when I got up in years pretty good. He didn't rely on anybody else to milk his cows until he got to the point where he had problems keeping up with it. And then the last year, the milking machine got bad, and we milked the last couple of cows by hand. And then we made butter. Had veal calves. Yeah, I used to always dump the milk for him. He'd dump the milk into a pail, and then we'd strain it. We actually strained it in the barn, which people would frown on today. But I'd sit there. He had a couple old milk stools, and I'd sit there and quiz him while he was milking cows about different types of farm techniques. And his dad used to milk with a lantern. They had what they call a lantern slide. They had a wire that ran the length of the barn, and there was a long S-hook about 2 feet long, which I still have. They slid that from cow to cow as they milked the lantern. So that was another change. I mean, had electric,
Yeah.
But his father's first milking machine was a what they call the Burl Kennedy and Little Falls milker. I actually have the pamphlet for that. And they milked 2 cows to once with a machine. And the pails were tapered, slanted down each side. But there was a lot. There's been a lot of changes in the dairy.
Do you think that's one of the reasons that your father didn't go into?
Well, he had his 6-cow dairy, right, in Toddsville that he milked by hand. No, he wanted to get into farming, and he worked for his uncle for years. And the promise was that he'd end up with a farm, and he didn't get the farm. So then he started mowing lawns in Cooperstown. He mowed the right lawn, and that's how he got in the bank. But he always helped my grandfather a lot. It was a family deal. I mean, we'd be up there almost every weekend fixing fence and doing things. We had a lot of fence. There was a lot of pasture on the farm. So, and then we cut wood. Of course, we burned wood. And there was lots of things to do. Lots of trimming and stuff. A lot of side work. My grandfather was a little backward. He didn't keep up with the times like his father did. He had one little tractor, which I still have, an Oliver 60, that ran the 130 acres. He bought the tractor the year I was born. He had one before that. He had a little International. And I still remember the tail end of the horses. But that tractor he bought the year I was born, the mower he bought brand new, the tractor was already used. It was kind of a nuisance switching equipment when you have one tractor. But he made a go of it. He survived. Most of the farm people around here, they didn't have a lot. And that's why the architecture stayed unchanged. And then when the farms went out, people bought the places up and they had more money than people who came in. And they didn't want a crude cook stove in their kitchen. They wanted a modernized thing, so those things went. I remember going with my grandparents, so house after house was pretty much the same. You had a cook stove. And usually you had a round oak or chunk stove in the living room. The houses were neat as a pin, most of them inside, but they were pretty crude. Some of the kitchens have been wainscoted over. Our house never, the kitchen was never changed. It still had the drying hooks in the ceiling when I was a kid. We redid the ceiling that were taken out. I still have them. But as far as the kitchen being intact, the one up home is probably about as original as you're going to find for woodworking, what have you. But that's what it was. It was a dairy farm, strictly. They used to drive the cows up the road. The day pasture was up the road. You probably drove the cows. Oh, probably 600-700 feet up the road. Up the county road, which was dirt. I have photos here somewhere of that. And then they went and put them in a gate, through a gate. That was the day pasture, and then the night pasture was right by the barn more. Today you get killed driving the cows up the road.
So growing up on a farm, did it skew how you view food now? Like, do you go to Price Chopper or do you go to the farmer's market?
I go to the farmer's market quite often. I buy fruit there. I go to Hannaford quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it changes your perspective on things, because we used to put a lot of produce in the cellar. We used to figure about 20, 25 bushel of apples, and at least 30 bushel of potatoes, probably 10 bushel of carrots, probably 3 bushel of beets, somewhere around that, a couple, 3 bushel of turnips, rutabagas. Used to have about 30 head of cabbage. Used to put a lot of squash in, some pumpkins. Squash they kept under the beds upstairs.
Why?
They kept good under the beds. My grandmother kept them under the beds. Some they kept in the barn. The onions were kept up in the hallway upstairs. They wouldn't keep in the cellar. The cellar was kind of damp. It was ideal for the potatoes. But I figured it up one time. It was well over 100 bushel of stuff we used to put in the cellar in those days. But all my grandparents lived to the point till I was 20 years old. So, I mean, we had to raise enough for them too. And they ate a lot of potatoes. One of the things, and we talked about this the other day in church, they had lasagna at church. And I think very few of the younger generation realize it. My grandmother went to the hospital one day and they gave her lasagna and she didn't know what it was. I can see her taking her fork and trying to figure out what it was. The food was... her way of cooking was real simple. They boiled and baked potatoes. They didn't eat a lot of meat. Very little meat. My mother often talks about that. And maybe that's why my mother's 9 years old. My grandparents were in their 80s and 90s when they passed away. They didn't spice things up hardly at all. They had lots of pie. They did eat lots of pie. My grandmother would make cakes from scratch, butternut cakes. And the icing would be made out of maple sugar. They used a lot of syrup. We used to use about 15 gallons of syrup when my grandparents were alive.
The syrup that you tapped?
Yeah, maple syrup. So, I mean, she'd sit down at night and have a little dish of syrup sometimes before she went to bed. She grew up on it. Her family never bought white sugar. They used maple sugar and they shaved it off. They made it in the sugar in bread tins and then they put it in the attic. And when they needed sugar, they'd take a knife and shave it off. And that was their sugar. Her mother would take her eggs to Hartwick. See, now her family lived on the Hartwick side. Her mother would take the eggs to Hartwick in a pail of oats and trade them for molasses. And they'd take their molasses jug and run it off the barrel and fill the molasses jug. And that was one of the few things they bought was molasses. They ate a lot of molasses cookies, big ones. I remember my grandmother making a lot of those. They didn't eat things like Brussels sprouts and kohlrabi. They never spoke of kale. They raised cabbage. Broccoli, I never remember my mother's parents having broccoli until later years when I started raising it. And I never heard a lot about cauliflower either. Lots of onions, lots of peas. My grandparents used to peddle peas in Cooperstown. My mother had to pick them all the time. In fact, she enjoyed picking peas. I can remember picking them when I was a kid. We always had a lot of peas even then, but we didn't sell them at that point. Unless somebody came and pleaded for some. Lots of beans. Yeah, lots of beans. Had radishes. Some lettuce. Not as much lettuce as you would think either. They weren't big on salads. Cabbage salad, yeah. And potato salad. Which she chopped in a wooden bowl. She didn't have a blender. And she could do it very quick. Very fast. With a handmade chopping knife. I don't remember her cooking a lot in iron kettles, but she did cook some in iron kettles. But by that time, stainless steel had come out, and she was an elderly lady, and she kind of liked that stainless steel pretty well. They used to have stainless steel parties, and she'd buy the stainless steel. But she had all the iron pots to cook in. She did use iron frying pans. She cooked on the wood stove, but she had an electric stove too. She kind of liked a few of those modern conveniences. She was pretty happy with the refrigerator. But we had an exceptionally good cellar. I mean, you could keep anything in there. It was stayed cool all year long. They made homemade soup. They did use some Baden soup. And that's my grandmother, not my great-grandmother. She wouldn't. Everybody had a treadle sewing machine. There's three or four of them around up home yet.
Would that have been a Singer treadle sewing machine?
Yeah, there's two Singers. My great-great-grandmother had a Singer, and my father's mother had a Singer. My grandmother had a different kind. I can't remember the name of that. That's gone. We got rid of that. My mother didn't like it. She got rid of it. And my grandmother's mother's is a different make, too, and I can't remember the name of that. There was quite a few sewing machine makers at one time. And when the sewing machines gave out, they used the bases for storage tables in the cellar. But they were all pretty good. My sister learned to use the treadle sewing machine. She was actually pretty good at it. My grandmother taught her. Of course, we didn't have a record player. We had a Victrola. My father and mother had a record player. My grandparents just had a Victrola, which actually came from Mary Imogene Bassett's house. It was hers.
How did they get that?
My grandfather went to the auction and bought the Victrola and two rugs and two prints, wall prints. And the Victrola was a Sonora. And I can remember that being played a lot when I was a kid. It was actually a pretty good sounding one as far as Victrolas go. That was kind of their entertainment. He was a square dance caller, and he had a lot of square dance records and a lot of polka records and foxtrots and waltzes. And they were big dancers. My grandparents danced when they were up in years pretty good. She still danced when she was over 90.
Did you dance with her?
No, I never danced. Very little. But one guy made the comment. He said that when you're grandparents square dance, it was graceful, the most graceful square dancing he ever saw. And I said, well, I never thought of square dancing being very graceful. But they had plenty of practice, and I've got lots of their letters. They wrote back and forth before they were married, and they were going to dances all the time. So, and they had hop dances. There was a lot of hop dances. They had house dances. My grandfather was a square dance caller, and he played the guitar. And when they had a square dance, they'd clean out three rooms in the house, usually the dining room and the two parlors, the living room and parlor. Take the furniture out on the porches. He'd sit in the middle of the room and call the dances. And my grandmother said you could hardly breathe. The dust was so thick in those old houses and those floors. But he called a lot of dances in a lot of different houses around Cooperstown. There's a tape recording of my grandparents here at NYSHA in the library here somewhere. In fact, I think we have a copy of it at home. The old guitar, there's howls in between the frets, so it gives you an idea how much he played that. And when he was milking cows, he'd call dances sometimes in practice. I can see the cows chewing their cud now. It was kind of comical. And he knew all kinds of little ditties, and he used to entertain his kids all the time. He was quite a jokester. Chases around the house with a wire fly swatter and stuff like that. When he was an old man, he'd ride downhill. He had the old sled his father made him. He'd ride downhill on that. So he was quite a character. He never took life too serious. He wasn't like his father. His father was just the other way around. Very serious. In fact, he was kind of glad when my grandfather married my grandmother. She kind of simmered him down, settled him down. So, but it's funny how it seems like every other generation is a little different, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
No, there's been a lot of changes. everything you think about, pretty much. All that generation, my grandparents' generation, I mean, they were good with an axe, and they were good with a scythe. They could trim around with a scythe and do almost as good as a lawnmower. And a lot of it was knowing how to sharpen the scythe and knowing how to use it properly. My grandfather, he'd holler at me when I was a kid. He said, take a little bit. He didn't like it when we chopped with a scythe. And it's true, if you do it right, you don't get tired. You can cut for long periods of time. But he taught me a lot of different things on the farm, especially when my mother wasn't there. Then he could do what he wanted to do.
Did your mother sometimes stop him from teaching certain things?
Yeah, she didn't like me using axes and things like that. When she wasn't there, we could do those things. Eh? Mm-hmm. And she didn't particularly like guns. My grandfather was, the one time he did a lot of hunting and trapping, so he talked about that a lot, too. He actually made quite a bit of money when he was younger trapping. Minks were $6, and a muskrat was $1, and $1 was a day's wages on the farm back then. At that time, the hired man got $1. He said, hired man used to say to my grandfather, he said, I work all day for $1, and you catch a muskrat and make $1. But fur was real popular at that time, fur coats. I can still remember going to church and seeing people with mink collars. How often do you see that today? Not very often. Yeah, we'd go to church and they'd have their mink collars, and then in the summer they'd have their fans. And you see a lot of old fans in these old houses. One of the most fascinating things to me was going to auctions and seeing different things always popped up at a farm auction, especially. You always saw a few dishes, English transfer. There was always a few pieces of that mixed in. Maybe just two or three pieces. Some of them would have chips and cracks in them, but there was always, you could always count on that. You'd almost always see something that had to do with the flax business. You'd always see some coin silver spoons usually at an auction. Teaspoons, I mean, that type of stuff. The old timers, they were pretty fond of those. They were things that came down through the family. And that's one of the biggest changes I've seen. People don't seem to keep heirlooms like they used to. It amazes me, even family photos, you see them. Sometimes the albums will be sold at the auction, they'll be marked. And that amazes me to no end that people would get rid of their family photos. And you always saw ancestors' frames with walnut frames and plaster frames. Lots of times they were the old type frame. That was typical at auctions. You always saw Dropley cherry tables, one drawer stands, you'd see candle stands occasionally. Always cupboards, pine cupboards. Always certain tools, always draw knives. Every auction would have a draw knife, maybe sometimes four. I went to one auction over here on Murphy Hill where they probably had 25. So, and then we used to see a lot of hop equipment at auctions, which I don't see anymore. I rarely see anything that's hop related. The typical farm had a cow barn, a horse barn, usually a granary, chicken house, a hog pen, corn crib, usually a wooden silo. A lot of that stuff has disappeared real fast in the last 25, 30 years especially. But the auctions were fascinating. I mean, I was fortunate enough that I was born at a time where I saw the family farm that had been in the family for 150 or more years. I saw them go up to auction, and I saw what was typical. And that's what I always wanted to make a collection that was an example of every typical type of tool that would have been on a farm. But that grew into a more extensive collection than that.
For your collection, do you just focus on farming implements? No. Or have you expanded to the entire...
I always like cooking, hearth cooking items. And early cook stove items too as well.